Welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. God willing, we are actually live today. We got a whole new system. We pumped about $2 million into the new board system. Great day. I am joined today by my good friend, Mr. Jeffrey Gurian, former alumni of the show.
Absolutely.
And, of course, our special guest today, Kevin Downey Jr.
Hey, I'm special. How's it going, guys?
Yeah. And if you haven't noticed by now, Kevin is has a crossbow in the back because he is expecting guests. And
because he lives in New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
And before the show, we were talking about that and how bad, I don't know, how unruly, how unsafe it is in the city of New York, as our good friend Jeffrey Gurian was sharing with us.
It's out of control. It's literally out of control. You know, I don't do politics, but this isn't politics. This is just the state of emergency. And it's never been this bad. I never remember. I live in a nice neighborhood on the east side of Manhattan. You can't leave the house. You literally cannot walk around. Near Bloomingdale's, if people know where that is, the train station, people are getting assaulted on a daily basis. I met a guy today for lunch. He told me he went down to the subway and some guy started screaming at him, some mentally ill guy. And he had his stand up.
Did he have a crossbow?
Everyone needs a crossbow. And a long sword, believe me. Kevin, I may need to borrow that from you.
Well, you know, it's available by the hour.
Yeah, right. He's renting crossbows. But I downloaded this Citizen app and I take pictures of every crime that comes up on my phone. It's like two women fighting at 51st Street. Woman assaulted at 3rd Avenue and 59th Street. Man spitting on passersby on platform at Lexington and 59th Street.
That's not nice.
It's just on and on. Four people fighting with injuries at 47th and Lex.
Now, let me get that straight.
On and on.
Let me get that straight. So there's four people who are already injured, and they've
decided.
And they're
still fighting. And they're still fighting.
What app is that, Duff?
Pardon me? Oh, it's called the Citizen app. And if you download it, it tells you what's going on in your neighborhood so that you can hopefully avoid places. But I never expected. I never had this before the pandemic. I never had an app like that, but someone suggested it to me, and it's unbelievable. So I'm hoping that Curtis Sliwa will win for mayor.
Yes.
He's a law and order guy, and we need that. We need to get the city safe again, or else it'll never come back. No tourists are going to want to come here.
Yeah.
This week, two tourists from out of town, one was shot, or maybe both of them were shot. Randomly, they have to go. One from Kansas, and I don't remember where the other one was from. But it's out of control. You can't go out in the street. So,
and Jeff, So I know Jeffrey's neighborhood very well. It is a really nice neighborhood. Imagine what's going on in the not as nice neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If it's happening here, there was some guy right on Second Avenue. Some guy sprawled out on the sidewalk last week. They had to call paramedics. The city's out of control. Mentally ill men are roaming the city with weapons.
Are you talking about Bill de Blasio?
Pardon me?
Are you talking about Bill de Blasio?
Yeah, exactly.
He was on a roller coaster. I got to see that he was actually celebrating his life by being on a roller coaster with his lovely wife.
Bill de Blasio. That's how I like to call him.
Yeah.
Everyone has a nickname for him. He's horrible.
Jeffrey, how long have you been living in the city?
30 years.
Okay. I moved to the city in 86 when it was a little rough, but I'm not there now. Do you think this is just as bad as it was when you moved in, or better, or like worse?
I've never seen it this bad. It's so bad, you know, combined with, like, I hardly leave the house anyway. I go out every few days for food, you know, but I literally will not walk on the street at night. Right near, down the block, gunshots.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's insane. And there's a police station right on 51st Street, Jeffrey, where all of this is going down.
Jeffrey, just hold on a second. I got to resolve to your issue. Kevin and I are going to team up. We're going to dress like the Winter Soldier and the fat Santa Claus. He's going to have his crossbow, and I'm going to have my nunchucks.
Right. Well, you're a martial arts guy.
That's so. Right. And we're going to risk life and limb so that you can go have a smoothie.
But, you know, cappuccino.
What's interesting is they always say nobody did anything. They saw this happening and no one, because not everyone's a martial arts expert. You take your life in your hands. You know, at the very least you should do is call 911.
Yeah.
But
it's a horrible thing.
There's a very long list of good Samaritans who didn't walk away from the incident. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So there, you have to be very careful.
There was actually a story that there was over 2,500 people in the city that volunteered to escort Asian people throughout the city that had to get around the city, that, you know, hired bodyguards. Like people said, look, I'll go with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just follow you around so nobody decides to, you know.
I would just love for one of those guys to pick on an Asian martial artist. That would be the best thing ever.
I'm waiting for that. Oh, I want to see that. I hope someone videotapes that.
Yeah, exactly. An Asian Defense League. Like we have like the Jewish Defense League. They really need that because these people need to be taught a lesson. That's the only way some people learn. They're very stupid.
I'd love to see
that is violence.
I'd love to see Kurt Russell out there.
From Roadhouse?
No, Kurt Russell from Big Trouble, Little China.
Right? Oh.
Was that movie? Was that the movie?
Oh, that was Patrick Swayze, I think. I was thinking of it. Roadhouse.
I was thinking Escape from New York. He plays Snake.
Oh, that's right.
But remember when he was in the movie? Yeah. When he was in the movie before that, Big Trouble, Little China, something like that. Very mystical and, you know, similar guy. And, whatever. We know what we were talking about. I went for it. I expected one of you guys to catch on. But, you know, it's horrible in New York. And the only thing I'm glad about is because it's so bad, somebody paid a lot of money for my house. So I appreciate all the
mystery. Everybody's going to Florida except you. You're leaving.
Going up. Everybody's going, where are you going? What? Oh, I'm missing the party. I'm missing the party.
Everybody's going to Florida. It's crazy.
Yeah,
did you hear a guy threaten an undercover Asian cop with a knife, said, I'm going to stab you? And yes. They let him out without bail?
Everybody gets let out without bail. That's the problem. Yeah. I feel so bad for the cops. Even when they arrest people, I thank every cop I see. Thank you for your service.
Yeah,
that's the least that you can do because they're so beaten up. That guy, he told the cop he was going to stab him in the face.
Yeah.
And he gets let out the next day. Everyone gets let out the next day.
Well, it's
except if you and I committed some kind of minor crime, we wouldn't get let out.
Yeah, I'd lose my license. I couldn't, be a financial advisor anymore. I'd have to sell shoes and Tom McCann and probably kill somebody because I hated my life. World goes on. One of the things I want to talk to you guys about today was, you guys follow Jeopardy?
Not really.
I didn't put this on the outline. They have like replacements because, you know, Alex Trebek died.
I don't know if you're aware of that.
He died. He's gone. And so they're trying to get all these different people, you know. And this last week, Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, was on there. And it was just interesting to see an athlete take on this cerebral position. Is that over? You know, you're a doctor. I would refer to our doctor on staff of coming up with something. Regarding this, but I don't know.
You know what? It boils down to stereotypes, and I hate stereotypes because people love to put people in categories. You know, there's probably some smart athletes, you know, but people think that
hey, for that category, he's like some at, you know, probably
I'm
some.
Sure there are, I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because you always hear about these guys that get college scholarships and they're not that bright, but the colleges put them through because they're good athletes.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there are some smart people. It's just my point was that people like to see somebody and think that you know all about them by their appearance.
Yes.
And yeah, I've always hated that. To me, it's very boring. You could look at some guy and say, oh, yeah, he works on Wall Street. And that's true. I think you should look the way you want and do what you like. And the two don't necessarily have to mix.
Or he could just be a guy who actually likes wearing suits. Because they fit good on him, and he walks around New York acting like he has a job. But he lives with his mother. Yes, Kevin. Question?
That's me. That's me.
um, who would, let me ask you guys a question. Jeffrey, you write, you have books, several books.
Seven.
Several. That's what I meant by several. I think the, right? Like a few, isn't a few like a five, like a four or five, basically?
I think it means like just more than three, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then
a couple is two and a few is more than three.
All right. And then several.
Several could be seven. That's right.
Yeah. Several. I always thought it had something to do with the preface of se.
And I have no idea how that even happened. Believe me, it's just crazy.
A writer and comedians. So I want to ask you guys a question. Would you rather have the ability of being a just incredible writer or the art of persuasion?
That's a very interesting question. Can we just, do you want to call on one of us? Or
Kevin, what do you, I mean, yeah.
That's interesting. At this point in my life, I take writer.
Mm.
But I can absolutely see the benefits of the art of persuasion.
You seem like a guy who's persuasive.
I can be, but at this point, I would rather be the guy who can write and make a living and not go out, go live in the Poconos and, turn the Wi-Fi on just long enough to send my article and no one knows where I live. That's what I want right now.
I thought it was pretty understood that when I said he's persuasive, again, he has a crossbow over his shoulder, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, at this moment, I mean, it's not like if you choose that, you lose whatever persuasive abilities you have. Okay.
Right. I see. Yeah. I'm up for a writing gig now. And so I've been writing every day and I love it. Because even without COVID, I wouldn't have to go to an office. You just write and you email it in.
Do you type?
Yeah.
Type it or do you actually handwrite it?
No, I type it. It's on the computer.
Jeffrey, you type or write?
I type everything on the computer.
Good.
Yeah, I don't write longhand. But in answer to your question, I think they're combined. As a writer, you have a point of view. It depends. My first five books were all comedy. They were comedy compilations. But my last two books were about happiness. They were about thought, how to change a thought, how to create a different life for yourself. And in doing so, how to achieve happiness. And they both became bestsellers on Amazon. And in order to do that, you have to be persuasive. You have to use your writing ability to, in a sense, persuade people to understand where you're coming from.
So Jeffrey, I respect your ability to try to persuade me to believe what you're telling me right now. I really do feel that there is ability to write. And if the writing is strong enough, it's like the act, right? It's like the song. It's like the talent. If the talent is strong enough, it doesn't take much to show somebody its value and what it can do.
Right.
Very true. But especially with comedy, you can carry a message easier with comedy. When they use speech writers, they try to make things humorous because people respond better to humor than just hearing a boring speech and just drama. So everybody wants to be funny. And if you have a particular point of view, you can get it over much better by using humor.
Absolutely.
As a writer than you can by just writing some boring speech.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think they're connected. It's a very interesting question.
When's the last time you persuaded somebody, Kevin?
Funny you should ask. I persuaded someone to give me a shot at writing for them by handing them some writing.
Were they cave writings? Were they?
Political article.
Cool.
Sort of a right-leaning, libertarian-ish thing that I'm up for that I'll find out in the next week if I got it. So I persuaded someone with my writing. But other than that, I can't remember. Hmm. I mean, I haven't really seen a lot of people in the past year or so.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, isn't that something? When you think back about your experiences, you have to go back about 2 years now. Because one year is spent in the house. So when I remember things that I did that seem recent and I figure it out, it had to be like 2 years ago.
Well, that's good for me because I have such a bad memory. I always basically reference 2 years, 2 days, 2 weeks. And as you witnessed tonight, Jeffrey, several items. You know what I'm saying? Trying to keep it easy. You know what I mean? Then it's easy to remember. The J&J vaccine today came out with bad news that some people are getting blood clots. People now are nervous about vaccinations. You had it, Jeffrey, which for a lot of times people who had COVID aren't really rushing to get the shot.
Go ahead. Finish what you were going to say.
So, you know, the idea is, how are you guys? Has anybody been inoculated?
Yeah, I had the J&J shot a week ago today. And I just started feeling better yesterday. Yeah, I was sick for days. And what was interesting, my cardiologist told me to wait for the Johnson & Johnson because mm-hmm. I still had antibodies. They say the sicker you were, the longer the antibodies last. So right. I was really sick. I was in the hospital with the COVID double pneumonia. Single wasn't good enough for me. I had to get the double kind. I wasn't satisfied with just one lung. I had to go all in.
Yeah, why not?
And so
you're no pussy.
Absolutely not. Not after whatever. So anyway, I still had antibodies. So he said to me, the chances are good if you have antibodies that you're going to get a reaction to whatever shot you get. So try and get the Johnson & Johnson. So last week, one of my daughters works in a medical facility, and she got an email that the Johnson & Johnson was going to be available for 3 days. And I had been debating about whether to try and get it or not. But when she told me that, it was like a sign from the universe. And I just signed up for it. And I was fine for 10 hours. And then that night, man, it hit me. And I was sick for the next 4 or 5 days. Oh. Just, you know, and it brought back the fear of COVID. It's really, it's a very interesting thing. When you have a traumatic experience, it's trapped inside your body.
Yeah, and it's you don't like it when it happens like that. By the way, it seemed like everybody who had a blood clotting issue was a woman. So mm-hmm. Thank God, Jeffrey, that you know, you changed things. Well,
I did, right? But you know what? I'll tell you something, a crazy thought, the way I've been thinking about it, that it's lucky that I had a heart attack 5 years ago because I've been on blood thinners ever since. Nobody knew that COVID was causing blood clotting. Last March, if you remember, Nick Cordero, the Broadway star, he passed away at only 41 years old. And first he lost his leg because of blood clots from COVID. And then he succumbed to the disease. And so I had been on this blood thinner and they told me I could have stopped, but something told me to stay on it, man. And I just been on it for 5 years. It wasn't harming me in any way. I didn't mind.
I think what you were getting was an email from CVS. That's what was telling you that you needed to refill.
I just had this feeling I shouldn't stop, man. And
Kevin, have you gotten the vaccine? Have you decided to?
I have not gotten the vaccine. I don't know if I've had COVID. I was checked once and I didn't have it then. I did have a really bad cough for a few days where my throat was closing, but I do have allergies, so I don't know what it was. I'm not going to get a vaccine anytime soon. I'm in a category where if I get COVID, I statistically should be fine. So I'm going to let everyone else get theirs. There are people that need it. There are people that deserve it or want it. I might get it at some point. But as of right now, especially with this new Johnson & Johnson thing, they're saying, oh, it was, you know, 7 million women got it and only 14 got sick. I said, well, that's today. Let's see what happens in a month. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an extended trial that we're looking at, right? It's very scary, but you know what? Here's the greatest thing about being free, that you should be able to make that decision regardless of whatever your rationale is, and you should not be punished by that decision by having some sort of passport, which is interesting, right? These travel passports and these things. I mean, I can understand if you're a college kid and they're making college kids, if you're going to go to campus now, that you have to be you have to get the vaccine. Which is interesting thing.
How about you, Dougie? Did you get a shot?
Yeah, I had a Sex on the Beach and a. I didn't get it. Like I'm more and a little bit on the side of Kevin. I don't feel I need it. I had it, and you know it did what it did to me. People keep telling me the variants. I'm like, look, man, I'm getting in shape. Okay, I'm watching these old Taibo videos. I'm going to kick COVID's ass. Okay, I'm going to lose. First of all, I got to lose a shitload of weight because I got back problems. Just call me Bulging Disc, okay? That should be Bulging Disc would be my male stripper name.
BD.
Big BD. I'm trying to. Here's the thing, Jeffrey. Life is a comedy in our world. You know, I got into a good habit to get my back better. I started swimming, and I'm actually a very good swimmer, believe it or not. And doing laps back and forth a few days in a row now. Oh my God, I'm feeling better. And then what do I get? Swimmer's ear.
Oh. You can't win. You cannot win.
What the fuck is going on? Here's what I want to ask you guys a question. This weekend I did a show in a very big room with right on the border of Georgia and Florida. A great show, packed house. Everybody was trying to get laid. There was a dance floor between the people and the stage, which is always a bad recipe for a bad night. And just a shitload of people packed all the way back into this long roadhouse looking place. And I go up after about 45 minutes, 50 minutes of comedians and I eat a dick. No one's even listening. I do 30, 40 minutes. I'm like, they give me the light. I'm like, good night. You know, didn't even try to sell merch. How bad do you guys feel when you have a night like that bomb or this doesn't go well? Or how do you guys handle that?
I'll be honest. It just doesn't really affect me that much. Because I've been doing it 32 or 33 years. I lost track. My ego doesn't need to know I'm funny. I go, yeah, I'm pretty funny. And if it doesn't work, the only thing that might bother me is if I have to say to myself, why didn't it work? And if I don't know, because I always know why I had the set I had. And there are times when I should have eaten it and I killed. Times when I should have killed and I've eaten it. I've always figured out why. So as long as I can figure out why I had the set I had, I'll be fine. And I'll show up the next day. Rub it, you know, shake it off and go, let's go.
Got it. Jeffrey?
I once read a book, and I wish I remembered who said it. It was a well-known comedian who said that you can't be good if you don't have that experience. And yeah. I can usually tell by the environment whether it's going to work well or not. I once had a show in a bar, and it was a long bar, and people were seated along there with tables. They were too far away. There was no energy. Comedy is about energy. It's about exchanging energy with the people around you. When you described that scene where you were in a dance floor between the audience and the stage, I'm like, that can't work. It's like doing comedy on Zoom. You know what comedy on Zoom is like? Yeah. It's like standing on a highway and yelling out jokes to passing cars. That's how effective it is. It's like, hey, have you heard this one? And it's like, Zoom. I think that's where they got Zoom from. It's like, but yeah, I mean, if you've been doing it long enough, you can usually tell before you get on the stage whether it's going to work or not. You know?
Well, it's interesting you said that because I think I was, because that was an issue. I was like, ah, this is a problem. You should put tables. And next show. All right, that's a good idea. And then, of course, there was no real spotlight, which is another issue. And, you know, and I think I got all in my head about it because you mentioned, like, if I ask why did I not do well, it's like, well, because I didn't sit there and jump around like a circus clown, you know what I mean, just to get everybody to look on the stage. You know, I probably could have went, what's happening? You know, I could have just went real dirty, you know, and just fucking ripped out, fucking you cocksucker, you know, whatever. And I don't know. But it was just like,
first of all, it's horrible when you're competing with a bar, when people are at the bar and they're drinking and they're noisy and they're not paying attention. I don't want to say I won't do shows like that because I've been in that situation. It's hard to back out when you're there. But how'd you wind up doing 40 minutes if people already did 50 minutes of material before you? Were you the headliner?
Yeah. What do you think is the right amount of time a headliner should wait before they go on stage?
Well, you know, I had once when I was headlining and they made me wait so long, I apologized to the crowd. I said, it's not just a rumor that I'm here. I couldn't believe how many comics they put on before me. It was ridiculous. All the energy gets drained out of the room.
Yeah.
You know, there should be some honor to being the headliner. And when they make you wait too long, you're not supposed to wait an hour.
This to me is perfect.
Yeah, I think so. That's about the max.
Yeah, after about an hour, it's like being seventh in a gangbang.
Yeah.
There isn't much.
It's not going to go well. For
there's
sure.
much that hasn't been touched. And that being said, I'd like to ask you guys, what's your favorite snack?
Jeez, I'm trying to stay away from snacks.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm not asking you what you're trying to stay away from. Actually, I could be asking you what you're trying to stay away from. I just think about it.
Entenmann's golden fudge cake.
Oh,
I can picture it now. I want to run out and buy one, but I won't.
Do you
it's so delicious.
Do you refrigerate it or do you leave it out?
I leave it out, actually, so that the chocolate stays nice and soft.
Yeah, soft.
And I cut little slices, telling myself that's all I'm going to have is that little slice. And while I'm eating that slice, I'm already thinking about the next slice.
I'm looking at it. I'm sitting there looking at it, and we're having a conversation. What's your snack, Kevin?
Well, a friend of ours just made us this big pan of, I don't even know what you call it. It's peanut butter on the bottom and fudge on the top. And it's the best thing I've ever had in my life. And once that's gone, I will be back to no snacks whatsoever.
It sounds like a huge Reese's Pieces.
Yes, it's delicious.
Peanut butter, yeah, it's delicious, right?
Are you saying it's a homemade Reese's cup?
Oh, yes, but in a big square one.
Yeah, you had to say big and make my life miserable right now. I think we got walnuts right now because now that we're moving, there's nothing in the house. There's no food. You know, we don't want to start going to Costco and getting shit. You know, that's good. Thanks for sharing, gentlemen. By the way, this is the part of the show where the news is a joke. I shared some stories with you fellas and things. And as comics, I always think it's funny to get a comic's perspective as you go over a headline. You know what I mean? Because I don't like to write topical jokes, but sometimes there's jokes in the stories. Our first story was interesting. A woman learned son's bride is her long-lost daughter on their wedding day. She finds out on her wedding. But since he was adopted, couples can still tie the knot.
How did she even find out? did it say in the story? Because unfortunately, that link didn't work when I clicked on it.
Is that what you meant? I was wondering. I couldn't get
it. I couldn't open any of the stories. I tried.
The future mother-in-law realized the bride had a birthmark that was identical to one of her baby had. They're marking the babies, Kevin. They're marking the babies.
You know what? They're putting chips in everybody. I'm telling you. No one believes me. We're all getting chipped.
Would you let them chip you, Jeffrey?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No way. Big tech is invasive enough. You know, every time you look up something, suddenly you start getting ads for that thing. They know everything you're doing, man. They know everything. They know every place you go. Anytime you look up anything.
Yeah. I'm getting nervous. I don't know why they keep sending me ads for Peyronie's disease.
That's hilarious.
I don't know. Am I leaving my camera on? you know, Peyronie's disease, where your dick looks like a big old chili pepper?
I've heard about it. Supposedly very painful.
Yeah, but some women seem to like that crooked dick, right? You ever watch one of those dirty movies and the guy looks like he's got like a boomerang and the girl's like, oh my God. And I don't know.
How'd he get in porn?
Yeah. Well, somebody tried to shut the door on him and he said, no, I'm breaking through this. Can't shut the door of porn on me. As the wedding celebrations were kicking off, groom's mother noticed they seemed to be impossibly coincidence. The bride had a birthmark that seemed strangely familiar.
Mm-hmm. Was it 666?
Yeah, as they were cutting the heads off little lizards running around. Hey, what do you want, mother? Yeah, interesting. They're labeling people. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Right, and that's how they're keeping track. That's how the Chinese government keeps track of their people.
Yep.
Crazy. Our next story, LA woman arrested for keeping $1.2 million accidentally deposited into her account.
That I saw on TV, yeah. She got in a lot of trouble. She moved the money immediately to another account, and she bought a house and a car, and now she's in a lot of trouble. They're coming for the money.
You know, how would you defend yourself to that, Kevin? You just took $1.2 million, basically a few hundred thousand of it, a big chunk of it, and you went out and bought a bunch of shit. And now that the feds are knocking on your door and you say, excuse me, but we need our money.
I'd say, These glasses are not really working. I thought that was mine. No, I mean, is she really in trouble? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, because theoretically, if you know that it's not yours, you're supposed to report it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so if you take it and you hide it right away, she moved it to another account and spent it.
Oh, that was silly. I mean, you know they're going to find it. You can't. There's no such thing as untraceable money that comes in like that.
Yeah, especially when it's in your bank account. You know, that's like going to a store, holding a gun and going, "Give me all the money." Guy gives you all the money, and then you take your ID and you put it on the counter. And you walk away.
Yep.
Especially these days with cash. Do you know that I had an experience? I went to Citibank. I don't know. I got a bill for $1.16 from something. I don't know where. I don't remember what it was. Some stupid credit card that I don't use. $1.16. I went into Citibank with $1.16 and they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't take it. I had to deposit it in my account first. And then they took it out of my account. I said, "Are you kidding me? A bank, Citibank, you're not going to take cash? We don't take cash like that anymore. You got to put it in your checking account first, and then they take it out of your account to show the transfer of cash." I'm like, what drug dealers are trying to launder $1.16? How bad of a drug dealer do you have to be?
They heard about your double pneumonia. They heard about your double pneumonia. Didn't want your COVID dollars.
But that's serious. I'm not kidding about that. Yeah. They wouldn't take cash.
Absolutely.
So your cash is
I worked at a bank for many years as a financial advisor sitting in a bank. And this would happen on occasion. And it happened to me once. I think it was about $23,000 hit my checking account. And of course, being a fiduciary, I knew the responsible thing to do was go to the Bahamas. immediately report the unexpected cash wind flow. Like, that's the thing, like $1.2 million, ba-boom. You're like, oh.
It's very tempting, man. Very, very tempting.
What do you do? Like, well, it's not like you can go in and make like 1,200 trips to the ATM dressed right. As different people. Right? Like, maybe, like, you know, you wear a hat once, glasses, maybe you put on a jacket like you're a dude, you know, a girl, you know, whatever. I mean, that would be you'd have a better plan.
Yeah, what's the max that you could take out? Only a few $100, right?
Yeah, usually $500 to $600. I mean, unless you're in a strip club where they have the idiot one that just lets you take out all kinds of, whether it's you or the stripper who stole your PIN number. Anyway.
Exactly. You're speaking from experience.
Yeah, I heard. Girl's all close. Married woman pays professional cuddler $80 an hour to hold her.
You know, I know a guy in New York who started that shit.
Really?
A cuddling group. Yeah, and I thought he was out of his mind. I can't remember his name. He was a friend of mine for many years, an actor. And the next thing, and he got written up in New York Magazine for holding cuddling parties. And I'm like, wow, what a crazy thing. And
I remember that.
Pardon me?
I remember that.
Yeah, and he made a lot of money doing that. And it became a thing for a while. I haven't heard about it for a long time, but people seem to need to be held. I think especially during COVID, we're all very insecure.
We could use
a hug.
Just ask Andrew Cuomo.
That's more along the lines of naked spooning.
Yeah. I mean, the question is, I'm married, you know, let's say I'm out of town a lot and my wife says, "Honey, I just hired a cuddler. Yeah. He's 6'3". I think he's trying out for the NBA. And really, honey? Yeah, no, nothing's happening. Nothing funny. You know, we're wearing pajamas and stuff. And he's just cuddling. That's all he's doing.
And what would your reaction be?
All right. Well, I'm going to the Dominican Republic for the next 2 weeks. And, I'll be
cuddling down there.
I'll go down there, go do some fishing. It's a big business, and you know, people are asking in the story, like, do your husband know? And the husband's cool with it. Now, my question to you guys, if in this scenario the husband's cool with a guy coming over and cuddling with his wife, my question to you is the husband faithful, or is he banging somebody who doesn't give a shit?
Hmm.
Interesting question. I was under the impression, though, that you have to go to them to be cuddled. I didn't know they come to your house. They usually have a place, like a cuddling office, and like you go there.
Like a cuddling bordello?
Yeah, I didn't think they come to your house.
Can they bring pot and burritos when they come to cuddle?
It's going to be like a combination between cuddling and Uber Eats.
So I want to start a snuggling group. I wonder if that would be in competition to cuddling or snuggling. Is there a difference?
You'd be like that Parkland kid who's competing with the MyPillow guy who just resigned. But you're gonna instead of the cuddling, you're gonna compete with the cuddlers by calling. We're gonna call it snuggling.
Snuggling.
and here's what we do. We're a bit different. We're thinking out of the box. We will be bringing over burritos, bongs, and prescription medication.
And Kevin's crossbow.
Yeah. In case anybody gets unruly.
Is it David Hogg that's starting something?
Yeah, he did that, and then he handed it off. He completely resigned from the position, I think, yesterday or today. And the MyPillow guy is, he's the MyPillow guy.
Oh. So, we just ordered a couple of MyPillows.
Yeah?
Yeah, they've thrown them out of Bed Bath & Beyond and every place else, and we just got cranky, said, well, that's it. We're buying some pillows. 4 weeks for pillows to come here. He's backlogged. He's doing okay.
Yeah,
he's doing good.
And anybody, I remember when they wanted to do, what was it called, boycott Goya. You know, and how that went.
It was the best move for Goya ever.
Yeah, great way to speak up to, believe, if you believe in it, say it. Here's a great story. Wife furious after finding husband selling healthy lunch she packed every day to buy fast food. Huh? Here you go. I got this cauliflower pizza. I got to go to Wendy's and get the beef burger. What's your favorite fast food? I know, Jeffrey, I know you eat well and stuff, but like if you've ever been on the road and, you wanted to get something, Kevin, you're on the road, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like fast food, like what's something you go, oh, you know what? I might as well get it.
My favorite thing are the cheeseburgers at McDonald's. I get two.
Me too. Me too. That's exactly what I used to get. I haven't had them for a very long time. I've been eating healthy. I've been cooking for myself. I learned all this shit during the pandemic. But I used to love those two cheeseburgers. They're nice and thin.
Yep.
And I would get it. There was a place near Bloomingdale's, and I would eat both of them before I even got home. They were so good.
They're so good. They make me bloated, but man, they're delicious.
They're delicious.
If I'm ever on death row, my final meal, three cheeseburgers from
McDonald's. Why not? Yeah. If you're in the electric chair, you're going to blow that shit right out of your ass.
Yep.
It's going to, there you go. But this is a great story. Shock awaited a woman when she came to know that her husband was selling off healthy lunches she was preparing for him to daily buy fast food.
That, it sounds like they're from my book, Man Robs Bank with His Chin. ridiculous stories, but true.
Some guy at work on say, hey buddy, yo what do you got today? Crudité? What'd your wife pack for you?
It's got tuna tartare, okay, I'll give you my mac and cheese deal.
Yep.
Deal. Says here, things were sailing smoothly until their plan to hit a rock. Whenever the woman texted the husband asking him if he liked the sandwiches she made, he wouldn't reply. Instead, he would ask her to make more than two sandwiches to satisfy his appetite. Honey, I love them. Just give me another two or three if you can.
Wow. And he was just selling them.
He was selling.
He ended up buying an umbrella and selling them for $5 a piece.
Who's buying sandwiches from coworkers in the first place? I can only imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure he's putting his dick in it.
Yeah.
You ever eat mayonnaise that's left in the fridge when you're on the road, Kevin?
No, I know the John Fox stories.
Yeah. Here's a story about two moms arrested for refusing to quarantine at a hotel after getting breast surgery. Yeah.
What do you mean two moms? They were there together? They're a couple?
No, two moms, they say, hey, let's go get some titties. I think they're from England.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to go get some breasts.
And coincidentally, they tried to stay at the same hotel.
What happened here? I lost the bloody story, did I?
So they were getting implants.
Yeah, they got implants. They went to another country. That could be India. I don't know how I lost this damn story. Oh, there it is. Okay. Two women from Ireland were arrested for allegedly refusing to go in quarantine hotel after they returned from a medical tourism trip to Dubai. Christy McGrath, 30, and Naeem Mulrini, 25, left the United Arab Emirates, arrived in Dublin Airport with their new titties on my birthday, April 2nd. Woohoo!
Oh.
According to news, refusing to stay in the quarantine, they wanted to show them things off.
Yeah.
Well, that leads to another question. Would either of you ever go to another country far away to have surgery done?
No.
I would definitely not go there. I would definitely not go there to get new tits.
No.
It's the stupidest thing in the world to do. If you ever have a problem afterwards, no doctor here is going to want to work on you because it'll be their responsibility. You're supposed to have surgery when you can go back to the same place in case you have a problem. It's crazy that people do that. They go all over the world to get cheap surgery.
Yeah, like dental. I have friends that say, man, just go to Mexico. You get dental work. I'm like,
dental. Yeah, exactly. People go for cheap dental work and then it falls apart and they can't do anything about it.
Next thing you know, I'm working on a lawn service. Woman gets pregnant while already pregnant. You ever hear that happen?
Yes. 3 weeks apart. The babies were born 3 weeks apart.
Hmm. Guy couldn't get enough, right? His wife's pregnant. Nonstop.
Well, he didn't know the first time. I think she was impregnated, that in vitro thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then she got pregnant from him 3 weeks later and wound up having twins 3 weeks apart.
Hmm.
Is this one of those women with two vaginas, or as I call them, gold?
Yeah, so much. There's so much to do, honey. You know what I mean? Would you like two vaginas, Jeffrey? Can you see a benefit of a woman with two vaginas?
Oh, I thought you meant me personally, because I wouldn't want any. As a matter of fact, I'm happy with what I have.
All right. Well, Jeffrey, if you had to get a vagina on your body, where would you put it?
Someplace easy to reach.
Kevin, if you had to put a vagina on your body, something happened, you lost a bet, and for some reason you had to spend the remaining years on Earth with a vagina on your body, where would you put it?
Bottom of my left foot, because I don't want anyone raping. It's going to make it very difficult. As long as I can run, they can't get me.
Man, you would have a nasty pussy. In the words of Otto and George.
Athlete's pussy, if you don't mind.
Yeah. You'd have athlete's pussy. There's a laugh track. It's called something. What's it called? Some term.
Mental illness.
Yeah, a guy who can't. Well, you know, that's a funny thing. Like, we did it one, like in vitro. They go through all that. But the in vitro thing, women get very fertile. They're pumping that thing up like a.
Yeah, a lot of people have like three or four babies at a time.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's move on. Filipino man dies after being forced to do 30 squats.
300.
I'm sorry, yes. He probably would have lived if he did 30.
30, right.
A Filipino man dies after being forced to do 300 squats as punishment for breaking lockdown.
Now, I started reading that. How did he die? Was it a heart attack?
Suffered a seizure at home and died in hospital a day after the humiliating exercise last Thursday night. His death certificate indicated the cause of death was stroke and cardiovascular hypertension.
Ooh.
See, he should have stuck to squat thrusts. It reminds me of a story. Years ago in dental school in Philadelphia, I convinced the kid who lived next door to me that the landlord was going to evict us because we did something wrong, unless we did calisthenics in the hall in our underwear. And I had a friend call and make believe he was the landlord. And this guy, he got in his underwear and was doing calisthenics in the hall to save his apartment. And it was so ridiculous that I never forgot all these years. And I had him on the phone with the supposed landlord who was questioning him. Are you doing jumping jacks? Yes, I am. Are you doing squat thrusts? And we all had to We had to be his witness.
Yeah,
that he was doing this, so he wouldn't lose the apartment.
You know, for our listeners and viewers, I don't know if you're aware of a squat thrust, but a squat thrust basically starts in a standing position, and then you squat down, right? And then you fall into a push up position, and then you from the push up position you push yourself up and down and get back up and jump up, and that's a squat thrust.
Now you do 300 of those. Pardon me, Kevin.
Kevin,
I thought that was a burpee.
I think that's what they call it these days.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the old days, they called it a squat thrust. if you did 300 of them, I could see where you die, whether you're Filipino or not.
Yeah. I was going to say he died. They said part of the complication was he squatted on the TV remote 274 times.
That'll do it.
Honey, move the remote. Oh, I said move the remote. Oh.
Well, when I got in trouble, I just had to do lunges. My parents were pretty kind.
Lunges.
And you weren't in danger of losing your apartment, and you didn't have to be in your underwear.
It's really weird that certain parts of the world do things like that. You know, like, okay, we're going to penalize, you know, we're going to cane you, or you know what, but because you did what you did, you know, you got to go on right on the board. I will not be a dumbass 3 million times with a pencil that you use at a bowling alley. Southwest pilot accused of exposing his genitals during a flight from Philadelphia to Orlando. Hey, it's the Magic City.
He was going to dental school there, I heard.
That's a rough story. That's definitely a rough story. Like the guy that got caught on Zoom exposing himself in that big meeting and he got fired eventually.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, I know you know who he's talking about, Kevin. This was the liberal writer. We call it.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, Jeff.
Who was like lambasting everybody on the right and who, you know, I'll get that Trump. I'll get that Trump. And, you know, here, I think this is a good moment. You know, I always wanted to ask you, you were there January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
You were at the Capitol. You weren't in the Capitol, correct?
Correct.
Now, I imagine with all the Facebook photos that they were published and you shared, I was wondering if you had a call by the FBI or if anybody contacted you.
No, not at all. I think some people probably... There are people that don't like me, and they may have said, look at this, he was there, but no, there was nothing illegal going on where we were. We didn't see any violence at all either. People were blowing up our phones, and we didn't know it because there was no, bandwidth, because there were so many people. But as we walked away, and we saw no violence, we didn't know there was any. Suddenly our phones are going, and everyone's going, get out, shots fired. And they're beating people. There are fights, but we didn't see anything like that.
Yeah. It was a strange day. I can imagine, but it's amazing how many people it's fun. You say, you know, you'd be surprised people don't like you. And by the way, let me say, I really hope you get that writing job.
Thank you.
I really like you to have enough money to buy a chair. I just thought I'm trying to be funny on the podcast. It's crazy. It was a crazy time. Crazy time.
You know, it wasn't what the news is showing you.
Yeah, it was. You know, listen, I don't really believe much of the news I see. Right? Yeah, I know Jeffrey is a news guy. He's had the unusual news on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. If you ever want to go to our Podbean site. Go back into 2013, 14, 15, and catch Jeffrey shows with the unusual news segments and some of the greatest stories that came out of that.
We had so much fun in those days, man. That was crazy.
Now, this is a real story. This is a guy from Southwest who made his home a cockpit. Listen, if you're a pilot, you know, if you're a fucking pilot, you're in a cockpit. It almost seems like something that, you know, it's, you know what I mean?
He took it literally, yeah.
I mean,
that's very bad, very bad. But I'm surprised because you can't be alone. There's a co-pilot. There's people coming in and out.
It doesn't say who the pilot, whether who showed it. And it just says, like, is this not a pilot's name? Michael Hawk.
Yes.
Michael Hawk. You know something about pilots?
It rhymes with something, yeah.
Pilots, you know what pilots also do? They fuck other guys' wives, right?
Really?
I don't know who fucks more guys' wives, pilots or firemen.
Really?
If you had to take a guess, who do you think women have sex with more when they cheat on their wives, firemen or pilots?
Firemen.
There's more of them.
Right. Because
a lot of them are built really well. They're very strong.
Jeffrey, you want me to go outside and dance around in my underwear now? And so, by the way, there's
only calisthenics. Calisthenics in your underwear.
I'm not capable of doing a squat thrust. I definitely am not.
Two, me.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Meeting some girls, walks up to one guy. She goes, "What do you do?" And she goes, "I'm a pilot." And he's like, "Ooh." The girl walks up to the other guy next to me and she goes, "What do you do?" And he goes, "I'm a fireman." Ooh. She goes, "What do you do?" I go, "I'm an astronaut." Michael Hawk. Somehow they said that he showed his penis somewhere between the trip. And Southwest is being very quiet on this. They're not really saying much. Like, did he show one of the flight attendants? Did he show, you know, if it was a passenger, we would know.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
So it's basically another person was offended.
An employee. Well, you can understand when people talk about being offended too easily, I could understand where that might do it.
Yeah. I would say so.
You can't just show it to people.
No. I mean, unless you're like 13 years old, you're playing truth or dare. That's the only time I did it. And our last story of the day, get a free bag of marijuana with your COVID vaccine. What a way to entice people.
Wait, I haven't heard about this. I might have a second thought about this vaccine.
Cannabis activists in Washington, D.C. are planning to offer free bags of marijuana to those receiving a vaccine for COVID-19.
It's legal in New York now.
Did they pass that?
They passed it. So that's crazy. So
you think all the craziness?
Smell it everywhere.
Yeah.
Cops in New York were told not to arrest anybody anymore, or even to stop them if they're smoking in the street. In the street for a long time.
Is it my imagination, or is Godzilla going to just come and destroy New York at this point?
I wouldn't be surprised at anything, man. It's crazy.
You mispronounced de Blasio.
He's already done his job. When does he get elected? When is the next mayoral election in New York City?
Next year, 2022. I don't know exactly what date. It is September? Yeah. He still has about 9 or 10 months to do more damage.
Well, yeah.
And I'm sure he will. He's not ready to leave yet. And the people who are trying to replace him are really just as bad, except for Curtis Sliwa.
Right.
You know, John Katsimatidis was going to run, but they say that he's going to run for governor because he and Curtis are good friends and they won't run against each other.
Okay.
John Katsimatidis is the guy that owns Gristides. You know, he's a billionaire. He's another law and order guy. So it looks like he's going to run for governor and then Curtis will run for mayor.
And you said Curtis is the gentleman who ran
the Guardian Angels 40 years ago.
Yeah.
40 years ago.
I remember when they had like that in Fort Lauderdale and I got my beret and hat. I was ordained.
Yeah.
And I went to a bowling alley one time and got my ass beat by a bunch of dudes for wearing it.
He trains people and he's still out on the street.
Yeah. You know,
fighting with people. He's 60 and he's a force to be reckoned with, man.
It's crazy. Yeah. I hope they win the elections too. I hope everybody smokes some weed in New York City and calms the fuck down.
Curtis Sliwa was taking punches and bullets for New York City forever now.
For decades. Absolutely. He still rides the subway and he trains guys from inner city neighborhoods to be guardian angels. He trains them and he's, I can't say enough. He really puts his life on the line all the time. And when Giuliani was mayor, that's when he became accepted. Before that, they treated him terribly, like he was a vigilante.
Yeah.
Arrest him. And he used to come to me to get patched up. I remember when some guy threw him over a railing in the subway with a shotgun, a whole thing. And I used to fix his teeth for him. He would get his teeth all busted up. And he'd come to me. Yeah, I mean.
Well, good. I'm going to cancel my trip to Mexico to get this root canal, Jeffrey. I'm going to come see you in New York.
He's a very brave guy. I don't do that anymore. But he's a very brave man, and I hope he will.
Well.
And Kevin, I'm glad you're on that side, too, that you're a supporter of his.
Oh, I've been a fan of his since 1986 when I moved here.
Yeah, he's just great.
Awesome. Well, gentlemen, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And I want to thank you guys for joining me today. Jeffrey, on last minute, thank you for joining in and getting to your professional self as usual.
Now, I always enjoy being on with you, and it was great to be on with Kevin. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Jeffrey. The pleasure's mine. Thanks for having me, Dougie.
You got it. And by the way, after the show, watch for the link of a GoFundMe page for Kevin and his new reclining chair. We're going to buy him. so he can do his podcast and he can do his Zoom stuff right from the from a chair.
But then I can't have the
crossbow
in the back.
I love it. Thanks, guys, so much. Anything coming up you want to plug real quick? Anything you want people to go check you out at?
Yeah, my newest book called Fight the Fear, Overcoming Obstacles That Stand in Your Way. It opened as a number one release on Amazon in medicine and psychology and cognitive behavioral therapy and adult children of alcoholics. And it's a lot of stories about overcoming fear and not letting obstacles keep you from your goals.
Yeah. As Jeffrey cowers in his house, scared to go out into
exactly. I confront the fear, though. I fucking confront the fear. I don't let it stop me.
Gotcha. Kevin?
I have a crossbow murder coming up. So don't be anywhere near Hicksville, Long Island, Tuesday, tonight, at 11 p.m., because I don't want anyone to watch.
There you go. Don't be a bystander, and don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Gentlemen, exactly. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. Chris, in the studio, if you don't mind, we're done. We're going to wrap this up right on time.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Gentlemen. Thanks for having me, Dougie. And Kevin, good luck with that writing gig.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Appreciate it. Good luck. Thanks, Dougie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Kevin.
Wake up!